Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And guide your attention back to the lesson from the book of the Acts of the Apostles one more time, reading verses 10 and 11. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Word of the Lord. Now what? They were staring off into the great blue beyond long after Jesus was no longer visible. Once again, Jesus had stunned them. He had told them he was going to his Father. He would tell them clearly that there would be a time he would no longer be with them. For 40 days, he ate with them and he spent time with them and he taught them and he took them outside of Bethany, to that little mountain. And once again, what unfolded was beyond human comprehension and even apt description. He suspended the laws of gravity and nature, and he just floated away. It doesn't take too much effort in our mind's eye on Ascension Day year after year to place ourselves there with the disciples. Maybe you even on this Ascension Day, once the skies were clear and blue, spent a moment outside where you envisioned yourself watching, seeing, looking. I'm pretty certain that if any of us actually did that, no angels appeared to snap us back to reality and get our attention back on the duties at hand to make our day a success. But that's what he did for them. This most remarkable of men had an equally remarkable exit strategy. And the angel had to appear to interrupt the silent gawking of the moment with simple, timely gospel truth. Jesus physically left this earth a long time ago. And the disciples were hanging there at that place where he left them because they really didn't have anywhere else to be. They knew they had some time on their hands because Jesus had left them with instruction to wait. To wait for the Holy Spirit. To wait for his work of reminding them of everything that Jesus had told them so that they could be his powerful, accurate witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Every day since that day, Christians have needed to be reminded that we have things to do while we wait for Jesus to come back from heaven the same way we have seen him go into heaven. Every day we need the word to snap us back to reality, to ask us that simple question over and over again. What are you waiting for? That's pretty much what the angel asked the disciples. How long are you going to stand here? He's long gone. What are you waiting for? You've got instructions. Get on back to Jerusalem. Do what Jesus told you to do. Follow his plan. Listen to his word. Let the Spirit guide you. and you will carry out what he intends. So Jesus directed that every one of his followers share his salvation with everyone we have opportunity every day of our lives. Does that sound like and look like your life and mine? If not, what are you waiting for? What do you still need from Jesus to convince you? Is that perhaps the issue? Are you still not absolutely certain that he was everything he claimed to be? Or that his promise is good, that he'll never leave you alone, never leave you gawking and wondering without words to speak when the opportunity arises? Do you still need some evidence that every human is an object of his saving love? Or do you still need some convincing that his plan to change the world, literally, is for you and me and every other soul that believes in him, that hangs our hope on him as our eternal Savior, is to be a sharer of his mercy and love in a world that so desperately needs to hear it? Perhaps you're wondering how you can create the opportunities that I'm speaking of here. But that's actually very easy. And Jesus made it clear in his ministry and even in his days of instruction to the disciples after he rose from the dead just how easy that is. He intends for you and I to have an intense and intimate daily relationship with him in his word, to listen, to contemplate, to grow, and then honestly apply that word to our lives in a way that shapes our behavior, our attitudes, our mercy and compassion and kindness, and truly sets us apart as believers from all of the rest of the world around us. Remember Jesus telling his disciples? They will know that you are mine by the way that you love one another. It really is that simple. That living differently will create wonderful opportunities to share humbly, with gentleness and respect, the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Think on that a bit. You and I live our faith, live our hope, live the joy we express on evenings like this in front of a world that doesn't understand it, doesn't even know that it wants it, needs it. But when they see it in us, they see the difference and they see that light shining like the beacon on the hill that Jesus spoke of in the gospel. As a believer, you hold dearly to the hope of eternal life through your Savior's selfless love. You believe that the Creator God entered into his world and took on human flesh to live and struggle the heartrending ordeal that was his reality from conception to death, facing fierce temptation and mind-bending pain and abandonment, to pay the price, to create a righteousness, a perfection that he could give you and me and every other human being as a gift, because he did not need it to prove himself worthy to stand in his Father's presence in his human nature reality. No, he willingly offered himself to a brutal death, the suffering of hell, to pay the price, to give you and me and every other human being the reality of the approval of our God to live in his presence forever. It's done. It's accomplished. Proven in his rising from the dead, proven in his ascending back to the throne of God, where he sits and rules all things for the good of those who love him. Now we celebrate his return in all of his glory as a daily reminder of who he is, what he has done, and what it means for us, and how it ultimately serves his final purpose. His purpose all along, to have for himself a people, a perfect, holy people, to enjoy his presence, the fulfillment of that reality, every day, forever. So again, the question begs to be asked, what are you waiting for? What were the disciples waiting for? What does Jesus need to do to move you from where you currently are into the happy ranks of those who thankfully live for him every day while sharing his love and his forgiveness as a thankful expression of your love for him? Creating those opportunities that he had promised in his word would be yours. Your Lord and Savior never wants you to see that or feel that as an obligation, a requirement. For he has fulfilled every obligation, every requirement of his heavenly Father for you. He wants you to hear it and feel it as an invitation to a joyful life of hopeful living that is better than any path of life that you could possibly choose. He wants you to know that peace and fulfillment, that joy in his abiding presence as he speaks to you, as he gives himself to you in his word and in his sacraments. He would love for you to know the incredible satisfaction of being certain that he has used you to make the eternal difference in someone else's life. That you might know that you have given the gift that he desires from you, your ascended Lord. That you, in your sharing of his love and his forgiveness through his powerful word, has meant the difference for someone else to also live with us in heaven forever. Because you shared God's word with them. So what are you waiting for? It's time to live for our ascended Lord. Amen.